If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello, hello. Before I begin today's show, I want to talk to you about a live show I'm doing at this year's Dublin Fringe called Clankety Clank. I'm partnering up with Headstuff and Sissy That Pod to create an Irish version of the iconic snatch game from RuPaul's Drag Race. It's a completely improvised comedy quiz show with your favorite performers from this show doing their best celebrity impressions. It's going to be gas. You do not want to miss it. That's Clankety Clank this September at Smock Alley. Tickets are available now from fringefest.com. Do not wait. Get your tickets today.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about drugs. Nelly, you were spooned out of it on some purple crazy sauce just last week.
Oh, I was spooned out of it. Purple sauce, they called it. More like purple shh, if you know what I mean.
I don't know. What? Sorry, what? Purple shh.
Am I allowed to curse?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Purple shite.
Oh, no. Sorry, I thought you meant sort of milder. Right. Don't,
I
please don't
that
say
back.
That again.
Purple poo.
Yeah, okay. Purple crazy sauce is, of course, the street term for liquid base enhancers. What was your experience of liquid base enhancers?
Well, when I bought it, I wasn't sure how to take it. So I thought, well, I've heard that if it gets onto the soles of your feet, it tends to go into your bloodstream faster.
The fastest way.
Yeah.
Because it only travels up, isn't that right?
It only travels up. Yeah, that's right, Dave. I just poured a bit on me kitchen tiles and then I just took me socks off and started slipping in it. By Jesus, I slipped on the floor and I didn't feel the high. I felt very low and very much in pain.
Yeah, well, kids are calling that the slippy slideys. The important thing is you got to get straight back up again, because obviously as the drug only rises, if you're lying down, it's not going to go to your brain. It's going to go to the tips of your toes.
That is very true. And it should come with those instructions clearly in bold print.
Well, this is the problem with illegal drugs. They don't come with instructions.
That's it. And that's what I'm trying to make happen.
Okay, so Nelly, you're very much for the legalization of LBEs. Did you end up having a better experience after you'd slipped and fallen?
Yeah. Well, I had a mild concussion. So then when I woke up, I said, well, it's on the floor. I'm not going to use my mop to waste it. So I'm going to lick it.
Okay.
Licked the purple sauce on and God, it was going all over me face. I looked like Barney.
Right.
And then I actually started to feel the high, because then it was going into me.
Straight
tongue,
up to your
into
brain.
Into
my
eyes. I'm not sure if that was the way I was supposed to take it, but then I felt amazing.
Yeah.
I turned on some George Michael and I was dancing around the house in me knickers and in me pyjamas.
Your knickers and your pyjamas. So
knickers
underneath, pyjamas over.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the way
I do it usually.
Yeah. And were you on your own during all this?
No, my whole family was there. They weren't sure what I was taking. They thought I was kind of baking and I just spilled some purple icing on the ground. And they just said, we'll leave her at it. But then I think my dad actually licked some of it as well, because he was feeling a bit loosey-goosey.
Oh, yeah? What was he doing?
He was just rattling the bookshelves and taking all the books out and kind of banging them at the window. And then he was cursing at me, man. He was like shaking her. He just shaking a lot of things.
Does he do that normally, or is that unusual behaviour?
I'd say it was more in the extreme edge than I've seen before.
This is the danger now, because he didn't know he was taking some crazy purple sauce.
Exactly.
Purple
and then
crazy
when
sauce.
That buzz hit him,
he didn't know what to do.
He was shaking.
Yeah.
He was blaming other people.
And he took it out on your mum, did he?
My mummy. Me ma.
Okay. Well,
mommy.
Look, I want to bring on another caller. He's a graphic designer. Sorry, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Jeremy Huxley.
Hi, Jeremy Huxley. Thanks so much for calling in. What's your take on this purple crazy sauce situation?
Now, I think Bernie raises a very valid point. She wasn't...
Nelly, you mean?
Nelly, sorry, Nelly.
Bernie, it doesn't make any difference.
Nelly did not know how to properly use the drugs.
Yeah.
And so ended up in a very dangerous situation.
Concussed.
Concussed, yes. And it could have been much worse, as you were saying. If it's applied improperly, it only goes up. You could end up in a Willy Wonka raising up through the vents situation,
really?
Which is deadly if you have very sharp fan blades and you're in a ventilated area.
Yeah.
And so my services and my own SME small business has been dedicated to working with drug providers. Now, we are not drug providers ourselves, but we have been working with them on graphic design solutions for their drug distributing packaging and merchandisers.
Great.
So we started off very small in making the fun little logos and stamps on LSD.
Yeah.
But nowadays, we're going into printed baggies.
Oh, printed
yes.
baggies.
And you know, those baggies are terribly small sometimes. So getting the font just small enough
super
to
small.
Fit on the bag, and so you can give directions, instructions, dosage amounts. Now, we have to get the font so very, very small.
Mm.
It's a kerning nightmare.
Oh, God.
You know, sometimes if the bag is torn off at the top, you're missing key information.
Yes.
And so, really, I think the purple super slushy, that is the correct name for it after all.
Okay.
They're, you know, there's some rival generic off-brand
ones. Yeah, so this is, this is the one you want to get, the purple super slushy?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
That's the original, and they actually have the trademark
okay,
on that.
Keep an eye out
you can
for
see
that.
The very, very small
so
trademark
you're
symbol
you're designing
there.
For the purple mm-hmm, super slushy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
What kind of reaction are you getting from wasters like Nelly over here, real drug heads?
Well, you see, we started off with a very sensible Times New Roman font, but we really found that didn't vibe
connect.
Well. Yeah, it didn't connect with the core
I'd
audience.
More Comic Sans. Myself.
I was just about to say our market research really. There might be a correlation between, I know it's a very accessible font for dyslexia, but if you've got blurred vision from you're already taking, that can often be easier to make out the letters.
Yeah, I was going to say dum-dums, but I'm glad that you put a further point on it.
Except for the mushrooms user who, they really enjoy wingdings when we put out all the instructions in wingdings.
Mm, hard to get across those key instructions in wingdings, though, because so few people can read it unless they're already off their absolute bin. I want to bring on a drug dealer now, Melvin. Melvin, are you dealing in the purple super slushy, or are you dealing in some like offshoot?
Oh, how's it going, Dave? First time listener, long time caller. I've been dealing in LBEs for days now.
Days.
And triple T's as well, and Bingo Bongos, and all the lads. And I have to say, I absolutely loved the Times New Roman.
Oh,
I would love to see a curry or new in there. As well,
right.
Maybe going a bit mad and just doing Helvetica or something. That'd be mad.
Yeah.
That'd be so crazy.
And what about the? It's great that you're so interested in the design aspect of it, but I kind of want to talk a little bit about the drugs because you think drugs are cool. Is that right?
The coolest. If I didn't think that, I wouldn't be high right now.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't be in the business. Tell me about the triple T's. What's that?
They are. Turbo tropical tranquilizers.
Oh, wow.
So they'd normally be for like the monkeys and the tigers.
In tropical climates or whatever.
Yeah. Really good when you're on holiday. But,
right.
but you can have them here at home as well. Because, you know, we're having a really hot summer, so it's okay.
So this is like the new ketamine, they're telling me.
Yeah. But it does the opposite. Where like the liquid bass enhancers really accentuate the bass. This is like accentuating the treble.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you take the two of them together...
They can't see each other out and you're just so completely sober.
Okay, right. So you want to avoid that.
Yeah. Okay. Like the plague.
Put that on the instructions.
I think I tried those before, except it was like a knockoff brand. It was like TTP.
No.
What's TTP?
Tropical Thunder Panda.
Okay.
And God, I was up that tree like a light.
Right. Is it specifically for pandas? Because you don't see them in tropical climates.
I was thinking that was the red
flag.
Or do
you?
There.
Maybe you do. I don't know. Is it tropical?
Maybe if the pandas are really high. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything Tom O'Hans to me, I just take it anyway. Don't ask too many questions.
Yeah. Well, we're learning a lot here. Jeremy, what's next for the packaging business? Are you gonna branch out?
Well, the tropical tundra panda is actually quite a big boon for us because I love cute panda pictures.
Yeah,
it's been a joy to research and come up with logos for that. We have the two little pandas, and we actually have we send them out in pairs. So if you find your panda buddy that they match up, then it's a little meet cute for people who are trying tropical.
Love that.
Yeah,
love
we have
that.
A very viral social media campaign about around it.
Cool. Jeremy, I have a little suggestion. You can either take it or leave it, but you know, like the Kinder eggs and the Kinder Surprise, mm-hmm. would mm-hmm. that be an option for packaging? Because they have instructions in there and the font is tiny, but the children always know how to build the toy because it comes in that little orange capsule, if you will.
That
you know.
Is an incredible idea.
Yeah,
incredible.
That is
and,
such
and
a good idea.
You have the chocolate in there as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. And like, I could throw one of those Kinder Surprises, and it wouldn't open. So like, if it, you know, if it got damaged in transit, I don't think it would be too bad.
So we're talking chocolate egg with the plastic egg inside, and you've got the drugs in there with the instructions.
I mean, I didn't even think about putting the chocolate with.
Well,
it.
Well, the chocolate is great because yeah. you need that sugar. Infusion
yeah.
to counterbalance the
yeah,
the liquid base enhancers. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know what? It's great for that festival circuit and for going on airplanes because, you know, when you're going to a festival and you're trying to hide stuff, you know,
yeah.
gone are the days where we're taking the tampon out of the tampon applicator and hiding the drugs in there. Now a much more classy solution, a
yeah.
Kinder
Absolutely.
Egg.
Well, funny you should say that because Kinder, one of the executives from Kinder, Sven Blergen is on the line. Sven, you heard this idea and you're all in, is that right?
Oh, I loved it. Yes, yes, absolutely, completely. I think this is absolutely a fantastic idea. I mean, I myself love drugs, I'm high right now, but also I'm a businessman first and foremost, and I think this is an absolutely wonderful idea. I think we can get this on the shelves very quickly. But Jeremy, I need to get more and more details about this. What kind of drugs are going on in there? And also, more importantly, what flavor is the chocolate?
Yes, very important.
Well, I think our main market for this is going to be the German market. You know, they love a good rave. They love the Kit Kat Club and they love Kit Kats and clubs and really a big fan of their chocolate. I think in that case, we'll be going for Laugendebrach, like a pretzel flavored chocolate. And we'll twist it all up. And we can actually shop this out to our Dutch clientele, who are known for making windmill joints, will make a pretzel joint that is built inside this chocolate pretzel Kinder. I suppose surprise is still Kinder Surprise. It would still be a surprise, but I think we could workshop that.
Yeah.
I love it. I also have one more idea, Jeremy. Now, I'm super high right now, so this might be amazing.
Of course. I've worked with a lot of my German
colleagues earlier,
before.
The pandas. I'm really high in speed right now, but is it because pandas are super high all the time that they can't make babies? They're too busy being boxed off their loop, as you would say?
Now, I'm not a panda expert. I am a graphic designer.
Right.
But I would think that suggesting that people can't have sex while they're high really would alienate our chemsex crowd.
Mm.
And I'd really like to pander to them instead.
I am loving all this. I can't believe we started off talking about drugs and now we're onto like an amazing marketing idea, all of us. And obviously we all have a stake in this. We'll all take a cut probably, Sven.
Oh, please. To sign the dotted line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
Nelly, back to you, because you are a panda expert, weirdly. Can you confirm or deny anything about the lovemaking habits?
Well, what happens when pandas make love is that they don't make love in the traditional way. They would get each other's paws and they would push them really close together, and that's how they would climax.
Right.
So when they're high, the trouble is getting the palms correctly, you know, touching each other. Sometimes they're punching each other in the eye,
and
they're not getting the climax, and then one pause and one eye.
And when they're chewing on all that bamboo, are they getting mashed off their bins out of bamboo
they're
juice?
They're getting mashed off their little furry hoops.
Okay.
Oh, like
that's why they're at it all day, all night.
At it all day.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Guys, fascinating call. It's been great talking about drugs with all of you. Yeah, thank you all for phoning it in and looking forward to those Kinder Surprise hitting the shelves in Germany pretty soon.
Very soon, Dad. Very soon. Auf Wiedersehen.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to move on to some other calls now. Ken, you feel you were unfairly represented in a recent TV documentary about weirdos. Is that right?
Yes. I feel like I was very weirdly mistreated in that documentary. They asked me to take part in it, just kind of to help the community. But then the show was called Weirdos and it followed me every day, and there didn't seem to be anyone else in the show.
Yeah, it's weird that it's called Weirdos, but it's just about you.
It's just me.
And they didn't tell you in advance what the show was called?
No, they kind of just showed up to my house and said, do you want to help the community? And I said, well, of course,
right,
because I don't do anything else.
Well, how were you helping the community? How was this going to help?
Well, they would give me a broom and I would sweep the streets, and then the camera crew would just follow me while I do that. But they would bring me to dangerous streets, like dangerous parts of the neighbourhood to sweep. So I kind of always used to get weird stares, and I don't know why they brought me to those.
But there's nothing weird about sweeping the streets.
I know. But then what they would do is they would watch me in a restaurant and they would like encourage me to maybe chat up a young woman.
Okay.
And they would record me while I do that, and I wouldn't normally be chatting up anyone.
Right, so they're making you do things to make you look weird.
Exactly, they're putting me out of my comfort zone.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'm not sure how chatting up a woman is helping the community.
Now, let's take that example. When you would chat up a woman, in what way did you come across weird?
Well, I just stare at her. I think of things to say, and then I get very, very sweaty.
What kind of things would you say?
Well, I would think of things I could say, like, wow, isn't your hair very conditioned? Aren't your pores very minimal?
Interesting.
You know, are you on your time of the month? How's
okay,
that going?
That's
it can be a very painful time for women, Dave.
Yeah, but it's not really something you should be inquiring about of a stranger, I don't think.
And who told you that?
I just think it's common knowledge. It's, you know, if you're not a weirdo, you kind of know that, you know.
Right, okay. Well, that's they didn't say that to me at the time.
They were encouraging you to be a weirdo.
They said, this is good TV. And
yeah,
I said,
it
well,
sounds like
I must
good TV.
Be helping the community in some way.
Well, you are in a way. Let's bring on the producer of that show, Jane McCormick. Jane, it sounds like you've sort of taken this weirdo, Ken, and encouraged him to be even more weird in situations that he's not usually in. How do you stand over that, or do you?
I stand over it 100%. This wasn't the picture of the show we were initially going to do.
Okay.
We were going to do more of an inspirational story, before and after. Ken is very reserved. I'm Ken.
No, you're Jane.
I'm Jane. Ken is very reserved. And I just wanted to life coach him.
Right.
I wanted to get him out there.
With the sweeping brush?
You see, the sweeping brush is a tool. It's a talisman.
Yeah.
It is to get him out of his comfort zone. He was very housebound before this. He would be in his house for about 6 hours a day, only leaving to go to work.
Weird.
And socialize and exercise and then go home again.
Very odd.
I know. And we just wanted to get him out of it. So we thought a domestic tool like that. You see, I've got a PhD in psychology as well.
I can tell.
This was supposed to be our way of exposure therapy to the outside world. And we put him out there so he could soar, but he just kind of flopped.
Flounced.
And so we had filmed him at this stage, and we just thought, maybe it is as inspirational to show that not really everyone has it in them. So if you have it in you, that's good. If you're going to just flop, at least you're not Ken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's inspirational in a way. Like, we can all take solace from the fact that we're not you, Ken, you know?
Exactly. exactly. And if that makes people feel better, but it doesn't explain episode 3 when you blindfolded me and brought me to Tato Park and put me on the Cú Chulainn and there was no seatbelt to be seen. And you whipped off the blindfold just as I was about to take off. There was no one else in Tato Park that day. I was very scared. I was about to...
That sounds great. I'd love to see that.
You see, this was...
What?
That sounds like great.
This is a proven psychological technique.
Oh.
You have...
I thought it was just funny.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were deadly afraid of exotic animals such as tigers, lions, being left alone with them just...
Yes, I couldn't even watch David Attenborough.
Yes, and so when we put you in that roller coaster blindfolded with all the lions and tigers and bears in the compartments with you, you know, we wanted...
They were there.
We wanted to put you on level ground with them so that...
Everyone's afraid.
Yeah, everyone's afraid. You can see their humanity, or rather their animality... In the same way that they are vulnerable creatures such as yourself who don't like being hurtled around at G-force without a seatbelt.
We're all the same.
I know we're all the same, but the tiger took off my arm.
Yeah, but they're as afraid of roller coasters as roller coasters are of you.
That's a great, great point, Jane.
Are you sure?
Stay on the line. I want to bring on a viewer. Sorry, what's your name, sir?
My name's Ricky.
Ricky, you're a big fan of weirdos.
Oh, I like weirdos, I do.
Weirdos in general or the show?
Oh, just weirdos and freaks in general.
Oh, you're into kind of freaks and weirdos?
Yeah.
Cool. So what do you think of the show, though?
Oh, I love it. I do. I catch it every week. Ken is a massive weirdo.
He is a weirdo. Yeah. What's been your favourite episode so far?
Oh, when they made a put in the milk last in a tea. Oh, that was strange.
You seem like a bit of a weirdo yourself, if you don't mind me saying.
No, I'm perfectly normal, Dave.
Are you?
Nothing strange about me. I do my tea all normal-like.
Which way do you do it?
Mayonnaise first.
Mayonnaise first. Yeah. That seems unusual to me.
You're an outlier, Dave. You're an outlier.
I don't know. I don't think many people put mayonnaise in their tea. Jane, this guy. Sorry, what's your name again?
Ricky.
Ricky seems like a real weirdo. Maybe you could get him on to the show, and then you'd have your weirdos plural.
Well, you see, the thing about Ricky is
you think I'm too normal, don't you?
Yeah, he's not Ken. He's not Ken.
Nobody's
so
Ken.
He has that going for him. And
oh, wait, you think that's a good thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like the inspirational part of the show is that we can all watch it and know that we're not
Ken.
Like just kind of crap,
yeah,
like
yeah,
Ken.
Yeah.
And Ricky, sure, he's a bit unorthodox, but he's living his life. He's putting mayonnaise in tea.
Oh, yeah, delicious.
Yes, flavor adventurer. I just don't think I could work with him in the same way could
he's
with Ken.
He's just not as pathetic as Ken. Ken, just to come back to you then, do you see now how you are doing a service to the community?
Well, I suppose people are taking comfort in knowing that they're not me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a hoarder. I'm crap in social situations. I've no mates, no family. I suppose these guys have kind of become my friends, so maybe I do have friends. Are the camera crew my friends?
No, this is very common in psychological settings where you project friendship onto the camera crew.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. We kind of think you're shit crack. You're just...
Well,
they're being paid to be there, you know, yeah. Ken. They wouldn't be there otherwise.
What a pathetic weirdo.
Yeah, right, Ricky.
I'm, of course, not getting paid, but it does take me out of the house.
We did give you that broom.
The brew?
Yeah, the broom.
The broom, right.
We wouldn't give you a brew. You put your tea in last.
And I suppose you did pay for me to go to Tato Park as well.
And all those animals.
And all those animals. The missing arm, though, that's kind of a situation. I have a huge hospital bill to pay. I don't know if you're covering that.
We gave you the sweeping brush for that. If you,
right, so I could, you know, pawn it
if
in
you
somewhere.
If you screw off the bottom, then you can just.
That could be my arm.
Yes.
A peg arm.
A Which is not
something you see that much nowadays, but I mean, it certainly would give you a talking point.
Captain exactly, Hook yeah. kind of edge.
Yeah, Captain Broom.
Ken Hook.
Yeah.
But there's no hook. I'll have to source the hook.
The hook is you've got a broom for an arm. Okay, it's been great to talk to you, Ken. And Jane, we'll keep an eye out for more episodes of Weird Eyes. I know Ricky's going to be tuned in.
Because I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo.
All right, save it for the show, Ken. Thanks, guys. Thanks for calling in. As I'm sure you know by now, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
Fireside is the Irish storytelling podcast. Every week you'll hear tales of mythic Irish gods, Arthurian knights, or Norse Vikings. There is folklore from Ireland and around the world, and even historical legends like Brian Boru and Gráinne Whale. Whether from poetry or prose, lyric or legend, if there is a good story at the heart of it, you'll find it here. I'm Kevin C. Olihan. I'm your host and Fireside Bard. With over 150 episodes and rising, there has never been a better time to join us by the fireside.
If you're a fan of Phoning It In and you'd like to support the show, please come and see our Dublin Fringe show in September at Smock Alley. It's called Clankety Clank, and it's a collaboration between this podcast and Sissy That Pod. It's like an Irish version of the Snatch Game from RuPaul's Drag Race. It's an improvised quiz show format with lots of the regular guests from this show who'll be doing their best celebrity impressions. It's going to be hilarious. Tickets are available now at fringefest.com. Get them now before they're gone. Check out the show notes or the link in our social media bios for more details. My guest in the studio today is a professional assassin for hire. For legal reasons, we can't use his real name. He's asked that we call him Big Dog. Welcome to the show, Big Dog.
Hi, how's it going? And you're going to, change my voice, aren't you? So you can't actually understand, you can't grasp my accent, right?
Yeah, we'll knock something together, I'm sure.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
Is it true that you started out in the assassination business working for the CIA?
It is, yeah, but the type of job I was doing at the CIA would really surprise you.
Oh, it wasn't assassinations?
No, it was.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought that you'd expect some sort of job, like I started out in cleaning and then I ended up assassin. No, I started as an assassin.
Straight out the gate.
Yeah, no one expects that.
Yeah, that's true. That is unusual. What did they see in you that, that was your job from day one?
Well, I have my master's degree, so I think that was the
What was your master's in?
Assassination.
Okay, but that's more in the theoretical side of things.
Yeah, there was some practical work in there, but yeah, mainly theoretical. Yeah.
So the practical stuff was what?
Killing people.
Okay, so you did have a bit of hands-on experience going into the job, I suppose.
Oh no, I don't do it by hand. No.
No, I just meant in the metaphorical sense.
Oh yeah, I have to be very careful about that, Dave. Now, but yes.
Of course, hands-on has a completely different meaning in the assassination world.
No, I don't like to close the distance, Dave. Right. As far away as possible. That's my game.
So what's your weapon of choice then?
Maybe like a throwing knife or a little blowy stick.
That's blowy stick?
That's the technical term.
Is that like we would call it a blowpipe?
Yeah.
Yeah, blowpipe. Yeah, blowy stick. Okay, cool.
Tomato, tomato.
Do you feel bad about the people that you kill?
Oh, I do. I really do. I mean, sometimes it's, some politician and they're, a bit rotten. But other times it's like so-and-so's granny or something. And you just think, God, she'll be gone soon enough anyway. But you know what? Paying customers are always right.
Yeah. Well, that's a good strategy as a businessman. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about you, in your private work, let's talk about the CIA. Who did you kill for the CIA? Can you tell us?
Oh, I can't tell you, but I can give you a very strong hint.
Okay.
Texas, 1969.
Mm-hmm.
Open top car.
Mm-hmm.
Back and to the left, grassy knoll. That give you any clues?
No, total blank.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, that's pretty much all I can say anyway. But
No one else? No one famous, like?
A few attempts in Cuba.
Oh, yeah. Who was that with?
Oh, that was with what the devil is his name? I can't even remember the man's name, but he lived. He always lived.
Was there an exploding cigar involved?
Yes, an exploding letter, mistresses with poison. We even tried to fly a plane into his house and it just landed on the roof perfectly. Unbelievable.
Wow. It's amazing. You have successfully killed people though, yeah?
Like, oh, not all thousands.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So now you've gone private. What's the difference there? Like, how does the work change when you go into business for yourself, so to speak?
It's so nice. I don't know what it's like for any other industry, but for assassination, I just get more me time. I get more time with the family, and I get to choose in which jobs I take on or not. You know, the income is a little bit, you know, different, and maybe a little bit less security in the assassination business. Again, I don't know if this is similar to any other industry.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like a freelancer is a freelancer. Is there people then that you won't kill for moral reasons, or, you know, how do you decide what job to take and what not?
Yeah, I won't kill any shrews. Just won't do that.
Shrews? That's,
shrews, just because they're just too cute. I can't pull the trigger.
Right.
But anything else is fair game.
Oh, right, so literally shrews are the only...
That's it, Dave. Yeah, right. couldn't bring myself to do it.
Well, Angela is on the line. Angela wants to know if you'll kill her good-for-nothing husband, Lance.
Hello.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Ricky, nice to meet you. I mean, you'll bleep that out, won't you, Dave?
What did you say?
You'll just bleep out my name there, Dave.
Oh, I didn't hear it. We'll probably do something. Yeah.
Hello there, big dog.
Okay. I like where this is going immediately. So that's
your name, isn't it? It's on your website.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Ricky at bigdog.com. Yes. Yeah. Dave, you'll bleep that out, won't you?
Hotmail.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I tried the AOL one, but it's not working.
They'll just send you right back. No, so your husband isn't a shrew.
He's got the nose of one, but not anything else. He's got a very shrew-like nose.
Is that going to be a problem for you, big dog?
I really think it could be.
Oh, no.
I really think it could be.
You see, the problem, the problem is, of a Sunday evening, I do be walking up the driveway, and I see him, and he's walking down, and the bins are right there. It's Sunday evening. And he walks straight by them. Straight by them it does. And I leave it going. I'll grab the first bin. And he just looks at me. He'll stand there in the driveway and he'll look at me. And I'm taking bins out to the driveway. And he doesn't even grab the other two. There's three bins.
Three
bins if it's the black bin day. But... The recycling and he wouldn't grab the compost
brown.
Either. He says it's yucky.
Wow. Does that change anything, big dog? Because that's a real good for nothing piece of crap.
Oh no, yeah. No, this is something else. I mean, I've killed dictators and mass murderers. I've killed thousands of people, Dave. This is the worst. This is the worst
really?
I've ever heard.
Okay,
no sense.
Yeah, I mean that's the worst kind of husband.
Yeah.
So you'll take the job?
I'll take the job. Yeah.
Whoa, hold your horses, because Lance has been listening in and he wants his right to reply, which I think is only fair if you're going to kill him.
Look, I didn't take in the bins because it's not my job.
Whose job is it, Lance?
It's your job, and you should know that. You've been doing it every Sunday. Why should I pick it up one?
The fact that I've been doing it every Sunday is all the more reason why you should grab a bin every once in a while.
Oh my God, her voice, it would go through a window.
Through the window, that's where you'll go if Big Dog has anything to say about it.
Well, you've put me through a window before and I won't have it again because that was a very expensive window.
Well, hang on, guys, hang on.
The house is on fire.
hang on. The house is on fire, fair enough. But why should Angela be the only one to take out the bins? Shouldn't you, like, split the duties?
Well, she told me she enjoyed it, so I thought I'll let her do that little hobby. And we don't have a dishwasher, so I look after the dishes.
Oh, Angela, that seems like a fair excuse. You enjoy the bins, he enjoys the dishes.
He doesn't take care of the dishes.
Oh.
He says, I don't have a dishwasher, so I'm going to put the dishes directly into the bin.
Oh.
He makes them awful heavy.
Oh, and then you have to carry them out and then buy more dishes every day.
Yeah, and I've got a gravel driveway, so you're dragging... I used to enjoy dragging the bins on the gravel. It would be like a little Zen garden for me, and I'd make the patterns with the wheels on the bins and
there for hours.
Yeah.
And get a little bit zen by doing that to deal with the lack of the dishwasher and the constant dish bill.
Yeah, but now, I mean, you put too many dishes in there and then the gravel is just going to get stuck and it's too heavy and it's just ruining everything.
I try to put my energy into my hobbies. I used to get the little fragments of dishes and try to make a bonsai tree for the Zen garden.
Nice.
But sure didn't he go and he started eating his dinner off the dish bonsai tree and then it was dirty, so he pushed it in the bin.
Horrible. Listen, if you're not going to kill this guy, I might have to jump in and take over.
Go right ahead. I wouldn't stop you, but I you know, you have to beat me to the punch.
All right. Look, it's your business. I don't want to tell you how to do your job. Lance, you're a real worthless, good for nothing.
Look, that's how I was raised, my mother.
Oh, it's not your fault. It's how you were
raised. My mother always took in the bins. That's how I was raised.
Well, look, times change, Lance, okay? People, generations have moved on. Women aren't handcuffed to the oven anymore. You'd probably like it that way, wouldn't you?
If she starts doing the dishes, then I'll take out the bins.
Well, look, your mum is on the line.
Oh, balls.
Yeah, so what do you say, Katrina, to Lance's claims that he was raised this way?
Lancey?
Yes, mummy.
Lancey, what's this I'm hearing of you not taking the bins out? Huh?
Well, our daddy never used to do it, so why should I be doing it? It's not how I was raised, mammy.
Your daddy didn't have a bin. We didn't have bins. We put everything into a big pile and down the garden and set it on fire. But it's 2022 now, Lance.
Exactly.
Would you ever cop yourself on, huh?
Right, well, if she starts doing the dishes, then maybe I will.
A few dishes never hurt anyone. Sure, there's a fear of you.
She won't do the dishes unless we get a dishwasher. She's only going to empty and fill it.
Whoa, hang on. Katrina, this thing of breaking all the dishes as soon as they're used, did you do that in your house?
Yes, but his father was Greek.
Oh.
And sure, we were always having parties.
Yeah. It's tradition in Greece, of course. But that doesn't mean you need to keep that up, Lance, you know?
Well, it's a tradition. It's the only bit I have left of my father.
You have tzatziki.
He drowned. And I'm
in
trying
tzatziki?
To keep... Yes, he drowned in tzatziki and I'm trying to keep his spirit alive. God.
But couldn't you
God
do that?
God forbid I do that.
Couldn't you just do that by, you know, having a dip in tzatziki yourself every now and again without having to smash all these dishes and make the bin so heavy that they can't be used to build a Zen garden?
Tzatziki is quite expensive, Dave. I couldn't just
You can make it yourself, Lance. It's not that expensive.
Right.
Grow some mint to get a bit of yogurt.
I'll fill the bath. After this call,
I'd really prefer if he didn't fill our bathtub with
tzatziki. Ah, there she goes again. I can't do anything.
Then he'd just be throwing the bathtub in the bins and it'd be covered in yogurt. And
it's
not picked up for 2 weeks and the weather, it'll have turned to cheese by the time.
Well, of course I'm going to smash the bath up. Tzatziki smells after a while.
But this is your problem, Lance. You see, you have to be able to wash things when they're dirty. Otherwise, it's just going to cost you a fortune.
Maybe the whole answer to this is paper plates. Paper bath? Not sure how well that will work out.
Eco-friendly. Big dog, would you ever give him... I was wondering, I know it's not the most customizable thing, but I wonder if there was a customizable option on the way you're killing folk. If you could give him some sort of dish-breaking, yogurt-related death, I think that would be very fitting. And I love the dramatic irony of it.
Great question, Angela. Fantastic question. And by the way, this is a freebie, this one. I'm just going to do this one for the love of it. Again, if you beat me to the punch, Dave, it's a race to the finish on this one.
Okay, yeah.
Also, you're going to bleep out all the big dogs and the email address and everything. Drowned in yogurt sounds absolutely fantastic. Again, it's not too hands-on, but a little bit, because you know, I want to get a little hands-on on this one, you know? Just for me on this one.
You're willing to forego your usual... distance kill to get your hands dirty with Lance.
Yeah, usually I don't really take much pleasure in it, but this one, I mean, destroying the bin Zen garden is just, I've really never heard anything worse.
Unforgivable. Lance, how do you feel about this, you know, your impending death?
It was always going to happen.
That's true.
We're all going to die, I suppose.
Oh, no,
I
thought you meant specifically it was always going to happen that you would be assassinated because of.
A fortune cookie did tell me that once, so I suppose I just have to grin and bear it.
Mm.
And sure, anything to get away from this squeaky woman voice.
You talking about your wife?
That's it.
You better not be talking about me. Your mammy.
No, not you, mammy. I'm sorry.
Why wouldn't your wife have a woman voice?
Well, of course, it's a woman's voice, but doesn't need to be squeaky like that. All like right. A little shrew.
Okay, you prefer if your wife had a powerful voice like your mother.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Demanding the room.
I could try.
Bullshit.
I could try. Would you put in the effort if I tried to be a little
less
squeaky?
Well, I'm going to be assassinated now, so there's...
Well, there's still time to turn this around, Lance.
I can get louder.
Yes, Angela, go for it, Angela.
I can get louder.
Go for it, more
and
deeper.
If I were to be louder and to say, do the dishes, would you do the dishes, Lance?
Absolutely.
If I knew that was all it took, I would be shouting years ago.
Well, this is great. This is a breakthrough.
Done, Angela. Finding your inner strength. Wow.
Had put on his assassination gloves while we were talking to you, Lance. But I'm happy to see now he's peeling them off. He's actually crying. There's a tear rolling down his cheek. This is beautiful.
I'd loaded up the blowpipe with all of the little poison darts and everything.
Yeah.
And I just, hearing you, Angela, have that breakthrough and finding your inner strength that was in you all along.
Yeah. Okay, Lance, you dodged a bullet this time, or a blowpipe in this case. How do you feel now?
Well, I am wiping the sweat off my eyebrows as we speak.
We're happy to see that you've made it through, and you're not gonna be killed on this occasion, Lance.
Well, not today.
All right, I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Laura O'Leary, Niall Cutler, and End of the Night, folks. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, sure. Chapside Comedy on Instagram and Chapside on YouTube. Put a new sketch out recently, so give that a shout. And then also, I'm an ordained interfaith minister, so if anyone's got any weddings or baby welcomings or vow renewals or whatever the crack ceremonies, hit me up.
On your social media?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I actually haven't even set it up yet. I say my professional website and stuff, but if you can find me, at Niall Cutler _ on Insta. Yeah.
Deadly. I love the new Chapside sketch.
Thanks very much.
Chapside.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, good.
Very, very
hopefully
very
more good. In the future.
Did you guys shoot that in London or are
we? We did. I popped over and we shot it off in a day while we had time. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, no. Laura, do you have anything you want to plug?
Not today, but you can follow me at Laura O'Leary on Instagram. So if I am doing anything, I'll be showing it there.
Amazing. Enda?
Hi. You can find me at End of the Night on Instagram, DANITE, as in I'll go home with whoever is left at the end of the night. And I have a little show coming up in Fringe. Myself and some other dragsters and some comedians are teaming up to do a kind of drag parody takedown of the alt-right and the media platforms that give them platforms.
Cool.
So much like yourself, taking some inspo from the Joe Duffy, unless that was meant to be unsaid.
No, that's fine. Joe knows.
Late and the news and cool. All that.
What's that called?
Platforms.
Platforms.
At Fringe.
Okay. Amazing.
The 22nd of September to the 24th.
Brilliant. We're also doing a Fringe show called Clankety Clank, inspired by RuPaul's Drag Race. Tickets for both those shows are available at fringefest.com. Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you to Heads of Podcast Network for having us. And to Bobby Hearn for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
That was fun.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.